I was a little bit worried by that reference to being becoming a player manager, particularly in the week that Mourinho takes up a third appointment. I mean, was the first appointment Upper Gornal? Was the second appointment Lake Street? And where is the third appointment going to be? I have no idea. I even looked at my suit and thought, am I wearing a Mourinho suit here? Am I sort of extending the parable maybe a little bit too far? I'm sure that's not going to be the case. One thing I know, God's in control. And that keeps me sane. We used to sing an old hymn years and years ago. I know who holds the future, and he'll guide me with his hand. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by him is planned. So as I face the future with its problems great and small, I'll trust the God of miracles, give to him my all. I think that's the safest place for us to be, folks. So enough about that. We'll trust God to take us wherever he wants to. If you've got a Bible, I'm reading this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16, and I'm going to read down to chapter 6 and verse 2. And I'm speaking this morning about our role in the kingdom today. You might have come to church and thought, well, I can make up the congregation. You might have come to church, you might have had a role to play in terms of taking around the plate, the offering plate. You might have been part of the praise team. I want to tell you, God's got something far greater for you to do than that. And we're going to look at that this morning. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. I want to say to you very determinedly this morning that Jesus' ministry as he came to this world was not just of words, but it was of power. I want to remind you that Jesus Christ not only commissioned 12 disciples to be with him, but he then ultimately sent out 72. And then he said, wait in the city to which I'm going to send you, my holy city, Jerusalem, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. And we know that we share in the promise of that receipt of the Holy Spirit. In fact, if you turn to, I think it's Galatians and chapter 4, it will tell you that we're heirs according to the promise of Abraham. We share in that promise. So we share not only in the fact that we can know Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, but we share in the fact that the Holy Spirit has been given to us to empower us for what God would have us to do. You know that I've come from pastoring an Elim church, a Pentecostal church, and whether you've ever been to a Pentecostal church or not, you'll all have a picture in your mind of what it's like. You're probably wrong. You're probably wrong, but there's not very many that are as exciting as you're thinking of in your mind right at this moment. They're much more mundane, let me promise you. But let me tell you that the Holy Spirit is not given you so that you can jump up and down in a meeting for half an hour so that you know you've had a meeting. The Holy Spirit is there to help you worship when you find it difficult. And let's be honest, there are times when every single one of us find it difficult. The Holy Spirit is given us to help us witness when we find it difficult. And let's be honest, every single one of us finds it difficult. And the Holy Spirit is given to us to help us walk a holy life. It's www.worshipwitnesswalk. And every single one of us finds it difficult on occasions to walk the life that Christ would have us to walk. The Holy Spirit is not given just to make you some kind of religious nut. The Holy Spirit is given to develop spiritual fruit within you. And so we have been entrusted with this ministry of going out into the world. And it's been quite a successful ministry that Jesus started, for he started with 12 men, and now in this world today of 7.5 billion people across the face of the world, roughly 2.5 billion, one third are Christian. Did you know that? Never think you're pushed up a corner, never think that you are a minority. One third of people in this world today own the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, somebody say amen, hallelujah, come on. The longer it takes you to do that, the longer I'm going to preach, come on. Whether you call me Mourinho or not. You see, I want to say to you, it's great news that there are 2.5 billion people in the world today that own the name of Jesus, but there's still another 5 billion to work at. It's great that we're seeing people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. I'm so looking forward to that 2020 event on the 4th of January at the Bethel Convention. I can't wait for it. I'm like a kid with an advent calendar without an advent calendar. I'm really counting off the days already when we can show the young people of our churches that the church in the black country is not small and impoverished and irrelevant, but there's something going on here in the black country that God wants to do. And he wants to use you and I, my dear friends, to make a difference in the places that he has put us. And that's what our message is about this morning. I want to give you four cameos very quickly of what God would have us to do. And the first one was found in our reading. And the cameo that I want to give you is that we are Christ's ambassadors, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20, as though God were making his appeal through us, be reconciled to God. God has been in the world and is active in the world today, seeking to reconcile men and women, boys and girls, to himself. As an ambassador, we are the official representatives of the kingdom of God. Paul says, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach. You might say, oh, Tim, I'm not sure that I could do that. Well, actually, it depends how you see the word preach. If you see the word preach as a pulpit in the center of a stage looking out over, you know, however many people and somebody speaking and spouting for half an hour, if that's what you see preaching as, then no, we're not all going to be able to do it. But let me just encourage you and say that up until the age that I was 12, I stuttered terribly. God did something in me. He wanted to use me in what he's called me to do. And I want to say to you, whether you're 12, 22, 42, 72, or 102, just having a look around. I know Paul was getting close last week, but happy birthday. Whatever age you are, there's a work for Jesus waiting at your hand. Christ has sent us to be representatives of the kingdom of God. We're tasked with the message of taking this message of the kingdom to the ends of the earth. I met an ambassador on one occasion. I worked for my father-in-law, some of you will know that. And we decided that we needed to get into an export market, and so we were feeling particularly brave. We went to Southern Ireland on a trade mission. In fact, the first time I went to Southern Ireland, I went to Dublin and my case went to Amsterdam, but that's another story. And anyway, eventually we were there in Dublin, and because we were trying to attract custom, it had been arranged that there would be a reception at the British Embassy in Dublin, and if we'd got particular companies that we wanted to impress, we could take them to this reception. And so I was trying to try and cultivate some custom from a company in Southern Ireland. And so I invited them to come, and they came, and I took them. We went through security. We went into the British ambassador's residence. It was a wonderful place. There was a big room, probably slightly bigger even than this room, and people were milling around, and there was music. And suddenly a man came into the room, and it was immediately obvious that he was the ambassador. It was obvious not just because of how he spoke. He spoke the Queen's English in an absolutely marvellous way, don't you know? He spoke in that kind of way, but he was dressed in a pinstripe suit. He had a white shirt, a colourful tie, a hanky flowing out of his pocket. It was immediately obvious that he was the ambassador. When you go where you go tomorrow, will it be obvious that you are an ambassador of the kingdom of God? You see, I was in Southern Ireland, and they talk a bit funny over there. And my ears had got attuned to the Southern Irish accent, but suddenly there was a British accent that came loud and clear into that situation. I want to tell you, my friends, this morning, that people in your street, people in your family, people in your workplace, the places that you go to relax and to have fun, they need to hear a clear declaration of the love of God to them. We are the ambassadors that God has placed in this world for us to be representatives, his official representatives. And oftentimes, before we can speak, we have to earn the right to speak. And we do that by living lives that signpost the fact that we are followers of Jesus. For example, in Micah 6 and verse 8, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. It's to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. If I could have a £10 note for every time anybody has asked me, Pastor, how do I know the will of God? I'd be a rich man. Ask me on the way out if you want, but it's going to cost you a £10 note. Is that okay? If you listen to the message and don't fall asleep, you'll have the answer already. You won't need to ask me. He's shown you what he requires of you, and it's this. It's to act justly. That means to treat people fairly, all people, fairly and consistently. Whatever the colour of the skin, whatever the sex, whatever the academic ability they may have, whatever their bank balance, whatever their postcode, we treat all people fairly and consistently. We make sure we've got the facts rather than just responding to hearsay. We work for a fair and equitable solution for all of the people involved in a particular situation. To love mercy means to give people the benefit of the doubt. It means modeling forgiveness. Do you know the thing that stops the blessing of God in churches? I can tell you because I've been in church all of my life. I'm 59 years old. I know I look younger. Come on, keep up with me here. I'm just making sure you're still awake. I've been in church all of my life, and I can tell you the thing that spoils churches more than any other thing. It's unforgiveness. If you're sat over there because somebody else is sat over there and you can't be doing with them, get over yourself and sort it out. Jesus said, if you've got something against somebody, you go and sort it out with them. Matthew 18, check it out for yourself, but that's what it says. To love mercy means modeling forgiveness, even in difficult circumstances. It means not treating people as they deserve to be treated. It means not looking for revenge, rather that we love them and we look for ways to be merciful towards them. To walk humbly before God means not to think of yourself more highly than you are, not to expect a car parking space right by the door just because you're you. Not to expect that the rules don't apply to you because, don't you know, well, we've been coming here for 985 years. Get over yourself. The Bible says don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. In fact, Jesus says, if you go to a reception, don't go to the top table because somebody might come and say, hey, you're sat in the wrong place, go and sit down in the corner. It's much better to sit in the corner and to let the host come and take you up to the top table. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Follow Christ's example, Philippians 2:7. Make yourself of no reputation. The humble, gentle, generous spirit is the one that Christ would have you develop, and that will afford you opportunities to witness. There's another passage, Matthew 25. Jesus said, I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was ill, you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Can I tell you, the ambassador of Christ is ready and alert to serve and provide resources for those that are in need. Those that are unfortunate, that is hungry, sick, and naked, and those that are undeserving, in prison. The ambassador of Christ is alert and ready to the needs that are in front of them. Do you not remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? How that help came from an unexpected source, and actually out of his own pocket. Doesn't the Bible say, go and do likewise? When you're an ambassador for Christ, this is how you live. And it affords you, it earns you the right. People will say, why are you doing that? Why? Because I'm a Christian. I'll tell you a little tip that I've discovered about witnessing, because I used to find witnessing really difficult. It's a lot easier if you can say things in such a way that people then ask you a question. Because suddenly, they're asking me. And because they're asking me, I can respond. And I can draw them in. I can use the words that I want to use because they've invited me to give that response. Live in such a way that people say, why are you living like this? How can you be so forgiving? How can you be so generous? Because the love of Christ compels me, Paul says. It drives me, it directs me, it shapes me. So the first thing I want to say to you this morning, that the kingdom of God advances in Gornal in 2019, 2020, the kingdom of God will advance through Gornal when you and I live as ambassadors of the kingdom of God. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing. When we're preachers, you said to me, Tim, I'm not sure that I can preach, but Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The word that is used there for preach in Mark's gospel, certainly, is a word that we would translate today in our language as gossip. Did you know that? Gossip the gospel. Talk about it. When you're at the water cooler, when you're on the ninth green, wherever it might be that you might be, wherever you go. Gossip the fact that Jesus makes a difference. There is good news to be told. That reconciliation with God is possible. Forgiveness from him is available. Adoption into his family. Empowerment by his Spirit. All follow on from our decision to trust in the work of Jesus on the cross. The word reconciliation means to reinstitute a lost relationship. So we need to tell people that there was a relationship with God that was lost. We were made in God's image, perfect, but sin caused us to be judged and to be separated from him. And as a result, we live selfishly for our own ends. We push God to the sidelines. And as a result of that decision, we have experienced guilt and shame and fear and frustration and hopelessness and emptiness and vengefulness that bubbles up within us that we don't know how to control. And through procreation, those characteristics have been passed on from generation to generation. But, there's always a but. But, if you know this verse, why don't you say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. In our reading, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Peter, preaching on the day of Pentecost, repent then and turn to God, that your sins may be wiped out and times of refreshing may come to you from God. Again, from our reading, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone and all things are made new. This is the message of reconciliation that we need to be able to put in our own words and speak to people that we come into contact with. Let me tell you, even if it was true that in Britain, and it's not true, but let's say that it was for a minute, that in Britain, 1/3 of people owned the name of Jesus. It's not true. It's much more like 8 or 9% right at this moment. You will meet this coming week dozens and dozens and dozens of people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, who in some way in their lives are experiencing a problem that Jesus can meet. And Jesus has placed you to be there for them at that moment. Isn't that remarkable? Did I tell you about my conspiracy theory about electric lawnmowers? You know, if you buy an electric lawnmower, you always have to buy an extension cable. There's a conspiracy theory that's going on here between lawnmower manufacturers and extension lead manufacturers, because you always have to buy an extension cable. What does an extension cable do? An extension cable takes the power from where it is to where it needs to be. What does God do with you? He's made you into an extension cable. You take the power of God from where it is to where it needs to be. Come on, folks. We are Christ's ambassadors, and we have a message of reconciliation, that God can be known, that we can be forgiven, that we can be adopted, that we are accepted, that He's coming back for us one day. Isn't that great news? We're preachers, we're gossipers of the gospel. Let me move quickly, because somebody told me I've got to preach for 15 minutes this morning. And I think we might have already gone past that. We're prayers. Prayers. In Jeremiah 29:17, it says, "Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." Are we praying for our community? There's an opportunity on the 3rd of December to go up the road to Zor. Oh, I know it's Zor. I know it's not in Himley Road. How could we have been so naive as to put it in Zor and not Himley Road? Oh, naughty boys. Well, we put it in Zor because it was in the middle of the village. That's why we put it there. 3rd of December for people to come and to pray. Do you know the last one we had at Eve Lane Pentecostal Church. There were about 80 people there. Fabulous. I'd love there to be 160 people there. Let's double the numbers. Zor is a big church. We can fill it. Praying for our community. God, would you be gracious to the people of Gornal? Would you let your spirit be alive in the village of Gornal, in the town of Gornal, Upper Gornal, Lower Gornal, Gornal Wood, Straits, you know, whatever you want to call it, Sedgley. We'll even let Sedgley be blessed. Wherever you want to go, will you let your spirit be at work so that the crime rate is the lowest crime rate in the country? Wouldn't that be a good thing? Don't we think that God's people ought to be praying for the crime rate in our area to be down? For the educational standards of our children to be the highest in the land? Wouldn't we love for our children to be valued in that kind of way, that we pray for it? Because if our town prospers, God says we will prosper. We're prayers. Do you know there's a scary verse in James, and it says this: "You have not because you ask not." I don't need to ask this question. I know the answer before I ask it. In most churches that I have ever been in, whether I've been the pastor, whether I've been a congregational member, whatever I've been, which is the worst attended meeting of any church? I'll tell you, the prayer meeting. I want to tell you, folks, I believe God wants to do something in Gornal and Sedgley. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. The Welsh revival burst in prayer. The Hebridean revival burst in prayer. Any revival that you want to name. I had to do a module when I did my master's. I had to do a module on revivals. So you can ask me about that if you want. But I can tell you, every revival there has ever been birthed in prayer. Do you want to see Gornal changed? Do you want to see people saved? People healed? Do you want your churches to be full? Birth it in prayer. We're prayers. We're called to pray. All sorts of things we're called to pray for. I'm going to go quickly because I know 15 minutes has gone. We're not only ambassadors, we're not only preachers, we're not only prayers, we are releases. What does Jesus say when he comes to earth? He quotes from Isaiah 61. His statement is in Luke chapter 4, but he quotes from Isaiah 61. He says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." Can I tell you the good news? The anointing is here on us today to act as a floodgate to let it flow out. Good news for those who don't ever get any good news. You know people who live in your street and you think to yourself, I don't think anything good's happened to them for a long time. Comfort and solace to the brokenhearted. I'm not just talking about people we know like Bill, who's lost Helen. Bill's remarkable. I saw Bill on Friday evening. We went to the Upper Gornal light switch on thing together. He's remarkable. Genuinely remarkable. But you see, Bill is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bill is dispensing the love of God and the hope of God and the joy of God and the peace of God wherever he goes. The kingdom of God does not extend just 6 inches around the chair that you're currently sat on. The kingdom of God is advancing, Jesus says, and we take hold of it. And we advance with it. Freedom for those held captive by bad decisions, unwise relationships. Favor to those who fear God. Comfort to the grieving. Beauty for those who are carrying ashes. That is, carrying a weight of disappointment and abuse, a lack of love or a purpose. Praise to the despairing. Quite often as a minister, I hear people's stories and I don't have a clue what to say to them. As they're telling me their story, I'm praying, Lord, help and now would be good. Amen. I met a lady a few weeks ago and she told me her story. She was only about 3 sentences in and I wanted to burst into tears. She was married, but she was being emotionally abused by her husband. She'd been forced against her will in many areas of her married life. You'd walk past her in the street and you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know that she was carrying what she was carrying. And as she unfolded a story to me, I'm praying that famous prayer, Lord, help, now, please, quickly, amen. And I said to her, I'm not going to pretend that I can give you a scriptural verse that will make all of this right. But I'm going to pray. And I was with another lady, so it was perfectly okay. I said, would it be all right if I held your hands? And she said, yes, that's fine. So we held hands. And I prayed. Within 36 hours, the abusive part of the relationship was gone. I did not have a clue what to say, what to do. But we released the kingdom to come and do its work, and the kingdom did its work. I saw her last week. She's got a new job. She's got the offer of a car that she can afford to be able to get to the new job. And suddenly things are turning around. Was that because Tim is a marvelous counselor? No. It's because we've got a great... Well, we sing it with the kids, don't we? Our God is a great big God. And he holds us in his hands. That's what we've got. And we are releasers of the kingdom. God, use me. God, you do your work. If all I can do is pray, God, send out your word and let there be light. Then God, come and do it. So I want to suggest to you this morning, as my 15 minutes come to an end, that God has got a job for us to do. He's called us to be ambassadors to live for him. He's called us to be preachers, to gossip the good news of Jesus to everyone we come across. He's called us to be prayers for our community, that God would bless our community. And when we find ourselves in a situation where we have not a clue what to say, that we pray, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, I release your kingdom to do its work. I wonder if there's anybody in the room this morning who would say, oh, Tim, that's the kind of Christianity I'd like. I want God to use me. Well, I'm going to invite you to bow your head and to pray. But rather than put your hands together, I'm going to invite you to open your hands up before the Lord. And I'm going to pray. And if you would like to, you can say a big amen at the end. And if this message has really struck a chord with you and you want God to know that you're serious about it, then you can stand to your feet as we pray. So let's bow our heads. Let's shut our eyes. You don't have to stand. I don't want you to stand unless you particularly want to. But if this message has struck you and you know you need to make a response, then why don't you stand to your feet so that God can see it? And I'm going to pray. And if you agree with the prayer, you can say amen at the end. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is sharp and living, that it separates truth from error. And Lord, we know that you want to be active in this world, in 2019, in 2020, in Gornal and Sedgley, and just wherever we live. God, would you please take me and use me for your glory? Would you let me live for you? Would you let me speak for you? Would you let me pray for this community? And would you allow me to be the person that opens the floodgates to let your kingdom come in this area? Make this word to live in our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.